morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Am I speaking? My name is Jill Thompson. I'm representing myself. I've asked for 5 minutes.
You shouldn't speak so close to the mic.
Is this better? No.
Maybe you, yes.
This is better?
I think
no.
So.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Okay. I've asked for five minutes of rebuttal time, although maybe that's excessive. Anyway, I'd like to begin by saying something that you know very well. There are millions and millions of Americans who suffer from physical and mental disabilities, and that number is increasing in the United States. And Congress has recognized that people with disabilities are among the most disadvantaged in society and has passed legislation to address the problem that disabled people have in integrating into society, in maintaining financial independence, and seeking employment opportunities, providing for themselves in their retirement. In 1973, the Rehabilitation Act was passed, and the purpose of that act was to put the federal government in a leadership position with respect to disabilities and to afford some protection against discrimination for disabled people. And I am here. I'm a federal employee, a member of the State Department Foreign Service. I've worked for the government for 18 and a half years in the Foreign Service. And up until September 2001, I was completely healthy. I had never been hospitalized. I had never had any physical ailments or problems, and I had worked overseas in hardship locations beginning in Dhaka, Bangladesh. I suffered a brain hemorrhage in September 2001. Up until that time, my career was fully on track. I was competitive for assignments. I was competitive for promotions. After September 2001, I was removed from my position. I was essentially, and I use the word discarded, in the workplace. And I have made one attempt after another to prevail upon the State Department to address my situation. I requested...
Let me ask you about that.
Okay.
When you submitted your medical questionnaire in March of 2002, tell me what precisely you were asking the department to do by way of an accommodation because of the disability that you defined as the fatigue.
Okay. Let me just go back and say that I've been removed from my position in the International Financial Services Office, and I was sitting in the Bureau of Human Resources essentially without objectives. And what I was asking for was to be placed in a position, you know, which I was capable of performing. Let me just explain to you that there are two different types of employees in the Foreign Service. There are generalists and specialists. Generalists come in by taking an exam. Specialists come in with a proven track record of education and experience in a technical specialty, such as accounting, law, medicine, IT, security. And technical specialists are expected and can be promoted only if they serve the department in their specialty. So I needed to be returned to my specialty for two reasons. One, by training and education, it was something I could do. That is why I was hired. And two, in terms of a career track, that's where I had to be. And so what I was asking for in the medical questionnaire, which was the State Department's form for requesting a reasonable accommodation, was to be placed in a job which I was capable of executing and where I could manage my time and deadlines so that I could compensate or work around the fatigue factor. Barbara Pope
in other words, as I understood the district court's approach in part, it was that what you were basically saying was I'm trained in a field and I would like the State Department to support my effort to be placed in a position in that field. And there are no medical restrictions that would prevent me from being so placed.
Yes, I was hired as a CPA, as an accountant, to serve the department and the public as an accountant. And that is what I was trained to do. To ask me to do something outside of that technical specialty, you know, would require quite a bit of effort on my part to relearn something. For example, as an attorney, if your responsibilities were removed from you as an attorney and you were asked to work in the accounting department, you know, quite possibly you could learn to balance the books and learn to produce a financial statement, but that would require quite a bit of effort on your part. And so, you know, for me to be in a financial position, you know, was essential because of the fatigue factor. And secondly, that's what I was supposed to be doing in the department in any event.
And your position is that your medical questionnaire sufficiently informed the department of that was the nature of your claim for accommodation?
I spent 1 hour with Patricia Pittarelli, who was a point person in the department for reasonable accommodation requests. And I explained to her in full. I arrived in her office with all of the x-rays from the hospital, all the medical records in hand, and the accommodation request, and talked with her at length. And I might add that the result of that meeting and was not assistance, but was punishment, because several months later, the State Department reduced my clearance, my medical clearance for overseas assignment, from a 1 to a 5, you know, which then prevented me from serving as a Foreign Service officer and continues to prevent me from serving as a Foreign Service officer in the field.
All right. Let us hear from the department, and then we'll give you some time.
Okay.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Your Honors, the most telling portion of this case is the fact that Ms. Thompson, in her request for accommodation, only asked for support in changing the address of her office. That's all. And that she made no showing as to how that change of address would in any way accommodate the alleged disability that she claimed to have. In addition, she has not made any showing in any way how her alleged disability would substantially impair the alleged activities of her life. And I believe that the lower court below squarely addressed all of those matters. I think
ask you a question.
Yes.
As I understand at least some of her argument, it's that she has sacrificed having a life outside of the office in order to be able to do her job well. And the reason she's had to make these compromises is because of her fatigue and what she has said is her inability to care for herself. And consequently, having informed the department of that, she was seeking a position, as she described just a moment ago, where it would put less stress on her because it was a field she knew, as distinct from learning something different.
If I may, Your Honor, the record reflects that her request with respect to the reduction of stress wasn't with respect to the work she was doing. In fact, she said she was capable of doing the full panoply of duties of the job within the State Department, within any duties within the State Department.
You understand my question? In other words, if I came to you and I said, I love my job, but I have this medical condition such that to do my job effectively, I can't do anything else. I mean, I go home and I collapse, and I get up in the morning and drag myself to the office, and I do everything I can to do my job. So I want to be in a position that I'm trained in because I'm able to do it with less exertion.
If I may, Your Honor, and this is where I was getting to, Your Honor, is that the reason why she was not in that area of her job was not because of anything that has to do with her fatigue or the alleged condition. She was not in that position at the time because she had been removed pending the investigation that was ongoing with respect to the complaints by her coworkers.
All right.
That's
so
the reason why she was not
there. She was just moved out of her position to get her out of that situation.
Correct.
During the investigation.
Correct. And then what she requested after that was assistance, a support in getting these positions, one in Frankfurt and one in Paris. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that, Your Honor, is that there's no explanation as to why that would address her fatigue. She would still have to do the same functions that she would be doing, or working an 8-hour day as she would have. Now, if I may, Your Honor, as well, the record that was before the court below was that her own doctors were saying that her fatigue was being treated very well, and she was reacting very well to medication that she was getting. If I may, Your Honor, even plaintiff herself, on page 237 of the record, she says, "I'm doing much better now with the new medication, which I began taking several months ago." Page 157, "By taking medication, I'm able to hold a desk job." Her doctor's note on page 305, that she has a good response to medication that was prescribed for the fatigue. And on page 306, it says, "With very great improvement in wakefulness, reduction in anxiety, and work capacity improved. And she feels impressively benefited as above." Mm-hmm. So the record that was before the court was that she was being treated with medication for the condition, for this fatigue, she was responding well, and that she was able to work the full 8 hours, 40 hours a week. And as this court has recognized in accommodation cases, you look at the effect of that person's work, of that person's alleged disability upon their ability to do the work.
And the medical travel downgrade was based on what?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. First of all, I do want to clear one confusion up with respect to that issue, and that is there's a lot made by the plaintiff in here about her being rated as a class 5 initially, and then she was raised up to a class 2. First of all, when a lot of this happened, when she made the application for the positions, her medical clearance had been raised to 2. She was not a 5 at the time. She was a 5 because at that time, her doctor was writing notes saying she must remain under my care at this time. That's page 308. The doctor was saying she must remain under my care. So based on those statements made by the doctor at the time, she could not leave. However, when she applied for the positions, her medical clearance was raised to 2, which made her eligible for positions overseas. And again, that was not in retaliation. She actually, in her own statements, justifies the need for her being a class 2. On page 234, she says, "My class 2 medical clearance requires the oversight of a neurologist." And then on page 86, when she's talking about I think it was one of the letters that she had actually written for her doctor to sign, it talked about the dire consequences of her brain hemorrhage. And then on page 318, she stated that she must consult quarterly with a neurologist. Those are the basis for the class 2 clearance. And again, it's not that it was a recognition of a disability, and it's not that she had a disability. It was that at that time, that's what the agency was being told by both herself and her doctor, her treating doctor. And that it did not disqualify her for some of the positions, although we later found out that the Frankfurt position required a class 1 clearance because it was a rover type position. And as she admitted she felt good enough to do a desk job, and so a rover position would not have addressed her alleged disability. If there's no other questions.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mrs. Thompson.
I would like to correct a number of things that Mr. Valdez has said to the court. There were actually two complaints that were filed. One was an OCR complaint, and the other one was a grievance. And the Paris and the Frankfurt positions were the second of the complaints. Okay, the first complaint did not involve Paris or Frankfurt. And the statement that he made also, that the doctor said that I had to stay under his care, was in a medical note written to my file, which the State Department did not see at the time that it reduced my clearance from a Class 1 to a Class 5. That was produced in evidence during discovery. The truth of the matter is, what happened is that my clearance was reduced to a Class 5, meaning that I had to stay in the United States. Now, there were two positions in the Budget and Planning Office that were vacant and remained vacant, and I bid on those positions, and I interviewed for those positions, and those positions remained vacant. I was denied those positions.
That didn't have anything to do with your medical clearance, did it? With the Class 5 medical clearance?
The class 5 medical clearance meant that I had to stay in the United States. I could not bid on overseas positions. You cannot bid. You, in the State Department, you bid a year in advance. So with a Class 5, the only positions that you can bid on are in the United States. So I was restricted to U.S. domestic jobs. You have to understand that in the Foreign Service, you bid, you go through bidding cycles. So you can't just up and change jobs. You have to, there's a whole assignment process. There are panels and so forth. And this happens, you know, a year in advance typically. And so, I was faced with, you know, finding a position, you know, in my discipline in the United States. And there were two vacancies, and I was not considered for either one, even though I had the competence and the technical background for them. The State Department has not ever explained really why I was denied those positions, either one of them.
All right.
And I want to explain one other thing, that in terms of this medication, the medication I take imitates the adrenaline molecule, and essentially you have an adrenaline-type rush for about 10 hours. And at the end of that 10 hours, you are as tired as if you had been running through airport terminals with your bags trying to catch a plane. I mean, you do it. At the end of the day, you're exhausted. And that is cumulative throughout the week. And what has not been considered is 24/7. The State Department has argued, well, she comes to work, you know, she does okay. And, but the testimony of my family who see me after hours, who see me on weekends, you know, has been, simply not considered. And, you know, I would like a jury of my peers to consider the evidence that, that my impairment rises to the level of a disability.
Thank you. We will take the case under advisement.
Thank you.